I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Wanda Allen. Wanda is a national speaker, a coach, and an author. She is a Rising Star Award winner and Business Owner of the Year nominee by the National Association of Women Business Owners. Wanda has been a business banker for 25 years, where she gained extensive training on business development, maintaining client relationships, and customer service. Then she founded her own business called Follow-Up Sales Strategies. Wanda is an expert in helping entrepreneurs, business owners, and sales professionals improve sales performance, increase client retention, and become more referable through effective follow-up systems. Wanda, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be here.
So you have a really interesting background, given the fact that you were in business banking for such a long time, and then you switched and founded your own business. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about what went into that, a little bit more in the detail of your own background.
Okay. Well, I was a business banker, as you mentioned, and I specialize in the area of SBA lending, and I spent the lion's share of my career managing SBA departments. And because of that, I developed the knack for creating systems. If I was going to run a clean department, I had to have good systems in place. And then 5 years before I left the bank, I was asked if I would consider the position of branch manager. And I'd been managing SBA for 20 years, so I was ready for a change, and I took that on. And in my mind, it was a challenge because it was going to put me on the sales side of banking. So I used my skill for creating systems and took it over to the sales side because I realized pretty early on that follow-up was crucial to the sales process. And a lot of people struggle in that area, and I thought, it really doesn't have to be this difficult. So let me just create some systems for the follow-up side of what I do. And that is where Follow-Up Sales Strategies was birthed. And I didn't realize it at the time, but the bank I was working for was acquired, and I was a senior vice president. And when you're part of senior management, not with the lead bank in a merger, generally they don't need you, which is what happened to me. But it was 2009 and the economy was awful. And the madness really started about 2008. And I'd had my share of really how difficult that industry was and just had no desire to try to find another job in that market. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I decided to share my skill and systems with follow-up, and that's how I got to be here today.
You know, it's funny how external circumstances so frequently end up opening up opportunities for us. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what your thought process was, and in particular, maybe what you were feeling as you were going through this, because especially if you've been doing something for a long time, the thought of doing something new and somewhat different can seem kind of daunting.
Yes, it was. And because I was part of senior management, I was privy to the fact that the bank was for sale. And so I had about a year, and I knew I'd probably be on the chopping block. So I had about a year to really think about what I wanted to do. And actually what I did right after the bank was acquired, there's a company called Send Out Cards, and I became a distributor for them as an independent sales rep. And that was just kind of a stepping stone just to let me figure out exactly which way I was going to go in my new entrepreneurial world. And as a banker, it was while I was at Send Out Cards that I realized, as a banker, I always heard comments. You always call when you say you will. You always stay in touch. You never forget my birthday. But as a banker, the comments didn't really mean anything to me. They basically fell on deaf ears. But once I became self-employed and I continued to hear these comments, I thought, what is it? Because I wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. And so I thought, well, you know what? I've heard it enough. I know there's something here. So maybe I'll just share what I do. And I started speaking on the subject and realized really quickly that in general, people are not very good at this follow-up process. And they're very open about it and by their own admission. So I started speaking and it was a subject that was in high demand. Then I started coaching and teaching workshops to sales teams, and I wrote a book on the subject. So it just evolved into this business that is centered around helping everyone I can be better at follow-up, and it helps them attain success so much easier. But it was just, it wasn't like I left the bank and said, okay, this is what I want to do. It just evolved into that. And I realized I had something there that I could share and make a difference in a person's life, because when their production improves, when their business improves, their life changes. And it's very meaningful work to me. And it just goes way beyond just following up to get a new client. It's about relationships and how to take care of them. And at the end of the day, life and business is about relationships. So I'm very passionate about it.
It sure is. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to follow up?
I think fear, because when you follow up, you open yourself up to rejection. That people don't understand. They don't know how much is involved in follow up in terms of what most people do is there's a study done that shows 80% of sales are made between the 5th and 12th contact, but only 10% of salespeople make three contacts or more. So another way to say that is 90% of salespeople try two times and then quit. And the reason is because they assume the prospect isn't interested. So that's another reason it's hard for them. And then you tend to get discouraged. If you're calling twice and they're not getting back to you and you're dropping the prospect and you're moving on to your next one, and you kind of become the hamster on the wheel. But when they understand the process of getting a client, it does take time, and it is about relationships and creating loyalty. And you create loyalty on the prospect side as well as the customer side. And so that it's fear, it's making assumptions, and it's not having systems in place. When you have systems in place, they put you in the flow of ease. You don't have to think about what to do, when to do it, because your systems are set. And another beauty of systems is they pull the emotion out of the process. So when you get all those emotions in you and then the thoughts start moving, you don't take action. But when you're in your systems, it's about your systems. It's not about your emotion.
Right. It's not about you. It's about the system.
Yes. And it keeps you moving forward.
So do you see systems as being important in other aspects of business too, besides sales?
Yeah, I do, because it just keeps us on track. When you don't have systems, you gotta think. And I always say thinking wastes time. It's like scheduling, you know, having a schedule when you come in the morning, you know exactly what needs to be done and when. That is a degree, an extension of a system. So I just believe that and systems are so simple, they don't have to be complicated. So here's an example of a very simple system. It has nothing to do with business, but it shows how the simplicity of it. Every time daylight change time, twice a year, unless you're in Arizona, you change the batteries in your fire alarms at your home. That is a system. You don't have to think about it. It gets done. You don't have to worry about them beeping at the odd hour of the night. And you're in that flow of ease. That is how simple it is. On the business side, on the follow-up side, a system, let's say I think it's critical that everyone thanks their clients for their business. What's that system? Well, you, within 24 hours, you get your thank you out. That's it. You don't have to think about it. You know that that's your timeline. So timelines are a part of systems. And then, for instance, on the thank you, you determine beforehand when you're getting your systems in place, what is your thank you going to be? Is it going to be a phone call? Is it going to be a card? Is it going to be flowers? Is it going to be goodie basket, and maybe you determine that based on the size of business. So, and first, I'm just going to keep it simple here. Let's say, so for anyone that does $1,000 or less in business, they get a thank you card. Then anyone that does $1,000 to $5,000, they get a $50 gift card, American Express gift card. You know, so you predetermine, you set it. If it's your own business and you're a solopreneur, you obviously decide for yourself. If you have a sales team, company-wide, you decide. So everyone's doing the same thing. No one needs to think about it. It's not based on your mood for that day. And you know within 24 hours it gets done. That's all systems are.
That's right. You know, Wendy Lipton Dibner, who was a guest on Smashing the Plateau on episode 30, talked about how resistant entrepreneurs are to structure because they think that it's going to limit their ability to create freedom for themselves. And in actual fact, the more structure we have, the more freedom we end up having. And it sounds to me like what you're describing with systems is very similar.
Yes, so I will hear that. I'm not a systems person. They're too rigid, too inflexible. You know, I'm more go with the flow, like to see what the day brings. But systems will, like you just said, they'll become your best friend. They create structure and timelines. They help you form habits. Like I said already, you don't have to think. They make you far more efficient and productive.
They do. They do. And we can make more money, but we can't make more time.
Exactly. And time is money. So if we're wasting time, we're wasting money.
Absolutely. As part of the, you're talking about the need for systems to support a healthy sales process and healthy sales performance. As part of the systems, are there key things that we should be hearing from those we're trying to reach, either people who are already clients or people who are in the pipeline?
Okay, well, I think there's key things we should be asking in the follow-up process.
Mm-hmm.
So on the prospecting side, you always have to have a follow-up conversation. When I hear comments such as, I don't know when to follow up, I'm not sure if they're interested, I feel like I'm bothering, I know immediately there's been no follow-up conversation. And when there's uncertainty, generally what happens is we don't take action, because it's too uncomfortable. So you always have to have follow-up conversations. And what that looks like, in general, prospects don't buy in that first meeting or on that first phone call, right?
Right.
And so that's where you have to have the follow-up conversation. They're gonna tell you why they're not moving forward. Either they need to think about it, maybe they're shopping around, they need to talk to their boss, their spouse, they're gonna tell you. So that's your time when you say, would it be okay if I followed up? And I've never had anyone tell me no, but you don't stop there. You then add, the prospect's gonna say yes, and you then ask, when would be a good time? So this way you're bringing the ball in your court, you're in charge of that. And when you go to follow up, you're gonna remind that prospect, David, this is Wanda, we talked last week and you thought this would be a good time to follow up with you. See, I'm reminding you. And then that takes away the discomfort. There's no discomfort there. And if I get you and you say, Wanda, oh my gosh, I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to think about it. And I'm gonna say, no problem. Would it be okay if I followed up with you later? And you're gonna say yes. And I'm gonna say, great, when would be a good time? You see how that works? So you always, until you get that business, you have to have that conversation. And what else happens, a side benefit of that is you're showing that prospect how you do business. You're showing that prospect that you're attentive to them, that you're following up, that you're being diligent, respectfully diligent.
Mm-hmm. And that you're reliable.
And you're reliable. This is when you start earning your trust and your credibility. And so when it's time for that prospect to buy and move forward, you're it, because you've already developed so much trust and credibility that you have that loyalty. And that's what I'd mentioned earlier, prospect loyalty. It's very real. And if a prospect says, oh, that's okay, I'll get back to you, which is a common comment. Well, that's not good enough. because then you're going to leave with a question mark in your head. So here's how you handle that. You say, great, David, if for some reason I don't hear from you, would it be okay if I followed up? And I've never had anyone tell me no. And you're going to say yes. And I'm going to say, great, when would be a good time? You see, because I have to have that ball back in my court. I can't leave it with you. And generally, now, when I mention this to my clients, oftentimes they get uncomfortable. And they say, oh, I don't know. If they say they'll get back to me, I'm just not comfortable saying it first, you know, if I don't hear from you. But as I'm sure you know this, David, there's no room for growth in your comfort zone. So if you're uncomfortable, that's good. That means you're stretching. And this is a really safe way to be uncomfortable. And more times than not, when I say to them, if for some reason I don't hear from you, would it be okay if I followed up? Most of the times I hear relief in their voice. Oh, that'd be great. You know why? Because I've just taken the burden off of them.
Wanda, what does it mean to be an entrepreneur in 2015? How do you think the challenges and opportunities of being a leader might be different than they were, let's say, a decade ago or a generation ago?
Well, I wasn't an entrepreneur back then. So all I can say is just from the time I've been an entrepreneur, I just feel like we have such opportunity ahead of us because the last 5-6 years have been really difficult. People have been skittish and nervous and afraid to take movement. And I think with the economy is changing and people are ready, I think they're tired of scarcity in general. And if this is time for us to really go after what we want, and it's out there. And there's movement going on in the economy. And I think that's very exciting. Much more, because I became an entrepreneur in 2009. I don't know if there was a worse time, but, you know, it was a lot different back then than it is today. Just that you can feel the attitude and the energy. At least I can. I work with a lot of business owners. I speak a lot. There's a lot of positivity out there.
Wanda, what have been some of your ups and downs as you have entered the business world?
First of all, I've had to endure criticism from leaving such a secure, the industry was not secure, but a secure job. I did have, believe it or not, was approached by a couple of banks right after my bank was acquired about being hired. And I just knew banking had run its course. So my first challenge was standing up against the skepticism, let's call it that. And I can't believe, you know, you're not gonna take that position. It's such a terrible time. But it was really standing true to who I was and believing no one really knew the fire that was in me and that how banking was just done, it was over. So that was my first challenge, is learning how to stand strong in what I really believed I could do. The second challenge was entering an industry that I knew absolutely nothing about. The speaking business, I started coaching. Coaching wasn't as big a challenge because I teach what I've been doing for 10 years. So that wasn't so much an issue, but the speaking, you know, selling my services from the stage and how to present effectively and how to motivate and build my business. And then making the decision to build my business strictly from speaking, and which meant I walked away from networking. That was kind of scary because networking was a security blanket for me. You know, I networked a lot, but then I just realized that with what I do, I would rather speak to one with a third audience of 30 rather than networking one-on-one and running around all over going to events. Then again, that was staying true to who I was, because it's interesting the skepticism that comes up from other people that question your decision. But I've just learned over the last almost 6 years to just, I know what my vision is, and I know what I need to do. It doesn't mean I don't fail or slip, but it keeps me moving forward.
When you have slipped, or when things haven't gone as well as you might have hoped, what were some of the things that you did over the last 6 years to keep yourself feeling positive and energized so that you could move forward and face the challenges head on?
Yeah, I hired a couple mentors throughout the process, which was really key, who have kind of paved the way and is doing what I was doing, but they were on a more successful level. So I really just bought into really learning from mentors. That was very helpful. And then just, I told myself, I will not quit. I will not give this up. It's, my vision's too big. And I'm telling you, I've spoken and signed no one up, and I've spoken again and signed no one up, and I've spoken. But, you know, it's just pulling myself back up, because I just really, really believe this is my purpose. And I think when you know that so strongly, it helps you to stay forward and stay committed. And then my mentors have just been invaluable, because I'm years ahead of where I would be if I were trying to do this all on my own. And that's the other thing, we can't, I mean, I could try to learn it all on my own, but my goodness, I don't have that much time. I need to get business done here, and I need to get out there and help the people and make a difference. So that's really been it. Just keep doing it. Don't quit. And mentors.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the things that really catapulted your business to a new level?
Being told that what I'm doing is so needed. That was huge for me. And I've been told that by several mentors who I hold in very high regard. That, but I mean, I knew, but when you hear it from people that you really admire and look up to, it's just different. And so that was very helpful for me. That was a big part of my process. So knowing what influence they had on me, I know that I can influence others in the same way, but differently.
Interesting. What kinds of roadblocks do you see that other people have repeatedly in business? Particularly, you helped businesses for a long time before you started your own. So I'm sure you observed a lot.
Yes. Well, a lot of it was management issues. Not having the right people in the right places. There's that book from Good to Great, you know.
Got to get the right people on the bus.
Yes, yeah, and have them in the right seat. So mismanagement just can cause so many problems, because when there's mismanagement, then you have morale issues. And I've spent 25 years in the corporate world, so I've seen a lot just in the corporate world, you know, not even beyond business, but it is a business. The bank, it was a business, and I did see how it was run. And having leaders that are effective and motivating, and, you know, it goes back to recognizing your team. We're only as good as our team. That's the bottom line. You know, you've got to, if you have a sales team, you've got to have a good back office. And there's got to be great synergy between the sales teams and the office. When there's breakdown there, it's not good. On the business side, financial mismanagement, obviously, not, you know, collect some of it's just basics, but not collecting your receivables, not getting the money in. But it's mismanagement of money that causes a lot of problems with businesses, and that which can create difficulty with banks and with lending and even on the deposit side.
Right. Then it can have a snowball effect.
Yeah. Yeah. But I believe it all starts with the people. And that goes back to it's about relationships. It's about recognition and appreciation and loyalty. So it doesn't matter if you're the business owner, if you're the janitor, if you're the coach, that's what it's about at the end of the day.
Wanda, who have been some of the influencers for you that have been pivotal in what you've done in your business, whether they're authors or personal resources? Who are some of the people that have been really influencing you a great deal?
Yeah. Well, the number one person for me is Brian Tracy. I heard Brian years, I don't know, 25 years ago. And he's no nonsense. And that's what I love about him. It's about get it done. It's about not making excuses. And I learned that when I was so young from him. And I'm finding that I believe a lot of my success in my banking career, in what I'm doing today, and being able to manage follow-up so well, is because of his teachings. That it is, there is no excuses about it. You just have to hunker down and get it done, and prioritize and plan and be effective. And you know, Brian even goes into the whole personal side. You got to eat well, you've got to rest, you know, all of that.
Oh, and personal balance is really important.
Yes, yeah. And killing the TV and, you know, these time wasters that get in the way of where we want to be and what we want to do. So he's just been pivotal in my whole adult life since I heard him. I mean, I think I was 20 when I heard him speak for the first time.
That's great. Wanda, what's something that you're working on now that you're excited about?
Well, what I'm excited about is I just went through a rebranding. And this was a challenge I forgot to mention, that my company was Follow Up Savvy, and now it's Follow Up Sales Strategies. And I didn't realize it until I hired a mentor to help me through the rebranding process, but I basically outgrown Follow Up Savvy. And so I have a new company name, new website, new logo, my marketing's different. Everything's changed, but it's all the same, if that makes sense. Everything's changed, but nothing's changed. I still do the same thing, but I'm very excited about it because it's, what I really want to do is I want to be a international corporate trainer, because I love being in the boardroom with the sales team. And it's, you know, my heart's there just because I spent so much of my life there. And I'm excited because now with my new branding, I just feel like it's sophisticated and it's where I am, and it's going to really help me go after and market the corporations that I want to get into and work with their sales teams. So I'm very excited about that. I've got my pricing in place, everything. The mentor that's helped me through this whole process we've just buttoned down every aspect of my business, and we're wrapping it up. In fact, we just wrapped it up at the end of December. So 2015 is going to be very exciting for me.
Yeah, when all those pieces come together, it's really exhilarating.
It really is. And she, you know, I didn't realize, because I didn't know. As I said, I've only been an entrepreneur for 6 years. But, you know, the business card, that everything is a representation and how everything needs to tie together. And boy, does it ever beautifully now. Yeah. And I didn't have to try to figure it all out by myself. I went out and got a mentor to help me do that.
It's very hard to do it for yourself, even if it's your specialty.
Yes, yes, it really is. Because, I mean, there was just so much about the process that I didn't realize. I didn't know. And that's the beauty of having experts around us. So we can let them tell us how to do it. And I don't have to spend the brain energy or the money trying to figure it out.
That's great. So on the flip side, Wanda, who do you know personally who is doing work that you consider to be really remarkable?
That's Debbie Allen.
I had Debbie on as a guest.
Yes.
She's great.
I am in awe of her. And it's no relation either. I am in awe of her. What her accomplishments in the past, how she maneuvered through the difficult times over the last 5 years in the speaking business. She's so accomplished in the speaking business, but the coaching business, she's a marketing genius. She's the one that helped me with my entire rebranding. And she's just knows what she's doing, and she can take a business and build it, like I said, from the business card forward. And I just am so grateful for what she knows, what she's sharing, and what she does. She teaches how to become a highly paid expert. And to get to that point, one piece of that is the brand, your brand. And she just does amazing work. I'm so grateful for her.
Yeah, no, you really have to understand your expertise at a very deep level.
Yes, you do. And she really, the way she trains and coaches and mentors and helps build the brand, I just can't say enough about her. That everything she's done is going to make me a highly paid expert. That's it. And that's what she specializes in, and that's what she does. That's the end result for her clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm very excited about.
Right. So she delivers.
Absolutely.
Wanda, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
Well, thank you. My website is followupsalesstrategies.com. My email is wanda@followupsalesstrategies.com. And my phone number is 858-382-1952.
That's great. So we'll include those in the show notes. Wanda, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been sales strategist Wanda Allen. Thank you again, Wanda, for joining us.
Thank you so much, David.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.